Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Sing it, Marv. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa.
Good morning.
Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Entertainment news coming up for you. What is the most mispronounced names? We'll get into that, too. That's all coming up for you. All of that is in store, but it is a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means. Tell me something
good. Good morning and welcome to The Kitchen's Open on WFHR for this Monday, February 17th. February seems to be birthday month among the families here at our station. Mm-hmm. We've got two birthdays in our household.
That's right.
Laura has two birthdays in hers, and one of us here has a birthday coming up later this week.
I'm not doing this one. I probably should have told you guys beforehand. I'm not playing along with this one. I don't know what you're talking about. There's no birthday among the staff here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure, James. With said birthdays comes one of the traditions we have grown up loving, the birthday cake.
Ah, yes, the old birthday
cake.
Well,
most of us have grown up loving.
What? Mm. Well, I like cake.
Mm. Even though you're the head of the pie.
When I was younger, I was more into cake. As my palate matured, I just became more involved with pie.
Wait a minute. You were not born a pie lover?
I know.
I wasn't.
Isn't it?
Came to it late. But
I'm pretty sure.
I'm all in now.
I thought you had to be born a pie lover in order to be in charge of the pie. This is rocked my world.
Rocking
so
his world.
So what were those things about cakes that you liked when you were growing up?
Well, most of the time we had a homemade one. My mom usually made the cake at the house. So, and she would, we weren't that inventive. You know, I know Beth here, asks our kids, you know, what kind of cake do you want? And they'd say, I want double, triple chocolate, swirl, vanilla, all these kind of things. Like, basically, would you want yellow cake this year, dear? Yes. We'll have yellow cake. Maybe we could mix things up and do chocolate, Although one of my favorite cakes is actually spice cake.
Yes.
With a cream cheese frosting on it.
Cake.
Oh, yeah. I love spice cake.
And fun fact, when you put strawberries in it, it tastes like rhubarb.
That's true.
Or so I've been told.
We found that out when you did that once. Huh. It was shocking. It was like, this tastes like rhubarb. Oh, this is amazing.
Yeah. Well, and one of the reasons I do that with our boys is that's what my mom always did with us growing up. And my favorite was always red velvet cake. That was always my choice. But here is a pro tip. If you have a one-year-old having cake for the first time, do not let it be red velvet cake.
Oh, boy. Oh, wow.
We made that mistake with our eldest, and we had to get rid of a certain outfit.
Yeah, we destroyed the outfit. It was hilarious.
He loved it, which was great, but
The picture's got to be great.
Oh, it is, yes. I think we got some video of it, too, actually, it's great.
Yeah.
So, yes, although I am the chair of the Pie Council, I do know a thing or two about birthday treats. For instance, the first food used to celebrate birthdays were cookies.
That's right. I know. Shocking, isn't it? Yeah. When I started to look into the history of the birthday cake, I was surprised to find out that cake wasn't the first sweet treat used to celebrate that milestone. According to an article on sugar.org entitled The Sweet History of Birthday Cakes, great title.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Historians believe that ancient Egyptians were the first to celebrate birthdays because Egyptians believed that pharaohs became gods when they were crowned. Mm-hmm. Coronations were considered the quote-unquote birth of a god and celebrated. Food, drink, and festivities occurred when each new pharaoh was born, similar to birthday parties like today. For the citizens of Egypt, cookies were also commonly served on their birthdays to honor the sun god Ra, symbolizing another successful year around the sun. The cookies are mild in flavor, consisting of flour, butter, sugar, nutmeg, vanilla, cinnamon, and milk. The cookies are still commonly used to this day.
That explains it. That is it. That's why I love cookies so much. It's out of my control. It's in my genes.
That's right.
Literally in my DNA.
Don't fight it, James. Just get into it.
I'm just going to give in.
So when did it go from cookies to cake, right? So the article goes on to share about the transition to cake. Cakes are also common birthday celebratory foods in ancient Greece and ancient Rome. Ancient Romans typically served cakes at birthdays and weddings. The circle cakes were made from flour, nuts, leavened yeast, and honey. Honey is what provides a sweet flavor for these cakes. Ancient Greece celebrated birthdays with cakes, specifically the sixth day of every lunar year, with moon-shaped cakes that included lit candles.
Cool.
The cakes were offered up for ancient Greece's goddess of the moon, Artemis. The lit candles represented the moon's shine. Artemis's candles were considered the first birthday candles. Cake candles continue to be used in other ancient pagan cultures. Pagan cultures believe that fire from the lit candles scared away evil spirits, and the smoke from the candles carried prayers to the gods. People made noise and lit candles to ward off evil spirits on a person's birthday.
As would you want to do. No, you don't want any evil spirits on your birthday.
Yeah.
That's what you want to do. In a similar article on foodandwine.com entitled A Brief History of the Birthday Cake, the use of candles changed through the centuries. It says, the Germans probably first celebrated birthdays in a manner similar to how we do today. In the 18th century, Kinderfeste, which sounds like a great name for a German theme park, it does. It's a cake-based, yeah, was a party held for a child. In the morning, a cake was topped with lit candles. The child did not blow them out, though. Instead, they were left to burn all day until after dinner when the cake was eaten. They must have had much bigger candles back then to burn them all day long.
Not the Holy, small little ones.
No.
That's hilarious. No. That's hilarious. Just these 18-foot candles.
Yes, just stick them right there. Yeah.
See those nice big taper candles. That's right. But it doesn't specify how many candles are on the cake. So that tradition actually was connected with the has a connection to the Moravians.
Very cool. Yeah.
So when I looked, several websites said the same thing about birthday candles, and most of them shared this same story. For instance, countingcandles.com, in its article Tradition of the Birthday Candles, shares the idea of counting candles on a birthday cake dates back to the Germans. In 1746, there was a large birthday festival in honor of Count Ludwig von Zinzendorf's birthday. For the ball, a large cake was made with one candle in the middle and candles all around representing each year of the count's life. The large candle in the middle is believed to be representing the light of life in German culture. So here's how it's connected to the Moravians. Count Zinzendorf was a German count who allowed a refugee group of the Unitas Fratrum, which is known as the Unity of the Brethren, to settle in this a new community called Herrenhut on his estate. The Unitas Fratrum, or what is called in German Brudergemein, nice, would eventually be known as the Moravian Church.
That's right.
Wow.
So Moravians known for candles and stars and yeah, now birthday cakes. All because of Count Zinzendorf. Yep.
I am such a sucker for things like the history of things, mm-hmm, and I cannot help but do everything I do has to have a double meaning to it or whatever and everything, and I can't help that. But I will say that one of the things that I appreciate about my brain that it works that way is the pride that you can take in little things. Mm-hmm. I take pride in things that have nothing to do with my culture all the time and stuff. I find other cultures beautiful and interesting, but there's a little bit of added pride when, mm-hmm, you learn something. Like, oh, cookies come from Egyptians or something, right, along those lines. I'm curious if there's something along those lines for you, Beth, when you were doing this and if you knew it already or not, when it comes to birthday cakes and the Moravian Church and that connection there. Because I would take a little pride in that. I think that's interesting.
It's actually one of the reasons why I wanted to do an episode on birthday cakes. Because I don't know what I was looking at, watching some type of YouTube video or something like that, and this came up, that it was Count Zinzendorf that did the birthday candles. I'm like, wait, what? Did they just say the name that I think they just said? And certainly it was. And it doesn't surprise me that that candle in the middle was the light of life. And for the he was a Lutheran, actually, mm-hmm, but had a huge influence on the Moravian Church. That light of life would have been the symbol for Jesus. So the, mm-hmm, connection that Jesus is a part of our life from birth to death, that doesn't surprise me that that would be the center larger candle and then the other candles around it.
Man, and it just goes to show, I mean, how much so many things we do take from German culture in general, mm-hmm, in this country. I mean,
Christmas
we think
trees.
Christmas trees, yeah, and all these, especially when it comes to celebrations, which I find really fascinating. And
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny when you think about it in some ways, just with these stereotypes it could be of German people
exactly.
and German comedy
yeah,
and
right,
some of that.
Right.
I bring this up just in a local tie-in here. Whenever I talk about a historic Point Boss, and we've talked mm-hmm. about them a bit mm-hmm. today and everything, they're trying to keep history alive. There's so much pride, I think, that locals can take in that area over mm-hmm. there and in the soil, in the land, wherever you are.
Right, exactly.
So it's the same thing with what we're talking about here. Mm-hmm. And just these things that can, I think, build and that not only we can take pride in, but that we can share with others and share in that pride.
Right. Mm-hmm. This has me saying I need to go back to using one candle for each year rather than using the candle numbers.
No,
it's easier though.
Go back to my roots.
I like it. Now, but that does bring up also though, Beth, when did the candles start to get blown out?
That is an excellent question. So the tradition actually comes from one of Seth's ancestors.
That's right. It's an article from sugar.com shares that in Switzerland, in 1881, the first account of blowing out candles is recorded. The candles on birthday cakes each represent, of course, a year of life and were blown out one by one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like we like to do, or we have done, I guess I don't know if a lot of people do this, you know, you try to blow them all at once, right?
Yes.
You make your wish. You know, they say, make your birthday wish, and then try to blow out all the candles at once, and then it'll supposedly come true, right?
Right.
I guess that was my. Maybe I'm.
No, and that's. No.
I'm putting mine on other people.
That's what we.
I didn't even think to go into. Okay, when did that become the tradition rather than blowing them one out by one? So now everybody, you have homework to do.
Yeah.
Type into your Google or whatever search engine you like. When did you start blowing out candles to make a wish?
Mm.
You know, when was that connection made?
It's a fascinating question.
That's a good one.
Please, any answers anybody gets, we need them. Please get them to us, everybody. I can't research it. I'm too busy at sugar.org. I've never heard of this website before.
I know.
It's awesome.
Then maybe I'll have an answer mm-hmm. on my article on our next newsletter, which you can sign up for at the FHR website.
Yeah,
so
very good.
Do that. So it wasn't until much later that the birthday cake tradition was enjoyed by the masses, though. You know, usually you had to have some money to do it. In an article by Melanie Fincher on allrecipes.com entitled, "Why Do We Eat Birthday Cake?" Prior to the Industrial Revolution, cakes were considered a luxury good, but mass production made it possible for everyone, not just the wealthy, to partake in cake on their birthday. Ingredients became more widely available, which allows bakeries to offer pre-made cakes at lower prices. And not to mention, this is my thought, loving mothers who do their best to make their child's favorite cake.
Mm, yeah, exactly. Yeah. There is something special about that. Any parent who wants to make the cake for the birthday. Like Beth jokes about, you know, mm-hmm. make it with love, right? You know, that makes it that much better.
It makes it taste. It really does. You put love into the cake and it tastes better. And I have boys that like to challenge me. I've been asked to make a strawberry cake and there are very few recipes out there.
Yeah.
And I don't like to do the box ones because I don't want to do the food coloring that's in there.
Yeah.
And plus the amount of sugar, I can kind of substitute some stevia or Splenda, kind of make it a little bit less unhealthy. But my oldest, whose birthday is later this week, wants a caramel cake.
Oh, nice.
A caramel swirl cake. So
you're up. The challenge is on.
We do have to wrap the segment here in a second, but I do want to add to this that I sent a lot of this to my sister. My sister is a social butterfly, and with her two boys, and they're young, and she just doesn't get out of the house at all mm-hmm. and been able to do things, and she hasn't had a whole lot of creative outlets. So I would say about a year or so ago, maybe even longer than that, she just somewhere or another started making cakes, like a Cookie Monster cake and things like that, and just really gets into it. And it has been a huge creative outlet for her. Mm-hmm. She is running to other people online that do this, and mm-hmm. so she's had a little bit of a social connection mm-hmm. there with and everything. Cakes are amazing.
And
there's some really cool stuff going on with that and everything. She sends me pictures all the time of these ones that she makes. And she, I have to put her in touch with you guys because she can empathize with everything you boys are doing. Her boys are doing the same thing. Maybe you can share notes and misery.
Oh, excellent, excellent.
And the decorating of the cake is probably the hardest part. The baking, not so much. But, I mean, just go, go to what was it, a YouTube thing called Nailed It, and you can see some, you know, wonderful attempts that just don't quite, get there.
Yeah. All right. I can only say this because Melissa can't answer. I guess cakes. I guess cakes are all right. They're all right.
Yeah. Nice. We got
but she is listening. So it's coming.
The whole point of this segment was to get him on audio. To admit that he said that. Got it.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'd love to celebrate your business by having you become a sponsor for this segment, where you will be highlighted and have the opportunity to be interviewed and have us present this segment live from your business.
If you're interested in more information about this sweet deal, just give us a call at 715-424-1300, 715-424-1300. Speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out all the details.
That number, once more, 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Excellent.
Great segment. That was a lot of fun.
All about cakes.
And I'm going to be diving into a couple of the questions we had there and the sugar.org website.
Very cool.
While I'm doing that, Beth, I did want to remind everybody that coming up this Sunday, you got a big event going on.
We do. It is the trivia night for Walk Off School Debt, being sponsored by the Greater Rapids Area Churches for Ecumenism. Mm-hmm. I could say that well now. When I was trying to voice track, it was not going so good.
Oh, it happens.
It is going to be happening from 2 to 4 p.m. down at Two Doors Down Brewing Company on East Grand Avenue. It's the corner of East Grand and First Street in Wisconsin Rapids. And I happen to know that there are a couple of people that are going to be kind of emceeing this event that are kind of familiar voices.
Yeah. Just found out about it.
Yeah. So Seth and I will be doing the trivia
we'll be reading
part of
the
it.
Questions
we'll do the
and emceeing.
Stuff. Yep. There will also be a silent auction, and the station has kindly donated a overnight at Chula Vista Resort as one of those. There's going to be some more swag with that. There's a Mary Kay basket that we're trying to get. So there's a lot of, we're going to figure we'll have about 10 to 20 baskets available. So it's a great chance to just come. All of the proceeds go to help pay off school food service debt for our students, specifically for our seniors first, and then going down so that our seniors can walk in graduation and get their transcripts so that they can start that new chapter in their lives with a clean slate.
It's a great opportunity to put into the future of our community and help out. Have a good time while you're at it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Two Doors Down Brewing for opening their doors. And they do this with a lot of nonprofits. I think that's really cool. I appreciate the gang over there.
And if you don't have any money, you are still welcome to come. There is no charge to participate in the trivia. There will be a free will offering for whatever people would like to give.
Find out more. Be sure to look at the Moravian Church's website. Just type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, and or WR Moravian to find their website, and then find them on social media like Facebook or anything. Mm-hmm. Type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, and be a part of the event, everybody. We'll be talking more about it throughout the week. Great job, Beth.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you're having a great Monday morning out there. Diving into some entertainment news, last September we got teased with some false rumors of a Goonies sequel, but it is happening for real this time.
Okay.
What?
Wow.
Warner Brothers announced that Steven Spielberg and Chris Columbus are returning to produce. Chris wrote the screenplay for the '85 original, and Spielberg, of course, it's his story, it's his vision. It's a completely original story by Steven Spielberg.
Okay.
There isn't a director yet or any plot details, so it's pretty early on, but this time it seems promising. I imagine that, and in fact, I will put my name on it. Everybody you love from that movie that's grown up now is going to be a part of that movie.
In some way, shape, or form, yeah.
This is, whether it's Josh Brolin or it's Sean Astin or Ke Kwan or any of these actors, when they talk about this movie, you can see it in their eyes. It was a different time. It was a different moment for them, and they all go back and appreciate that time and that moment. I just a real quick side note to this. Imagine Steven Spielberg's producing this, Chris Columbus directing it. I don't care who you are as a director. That's a lot to walk into. Like those those particular names hanging over you as a director. I can't imagine what that might be like. As just having Steven just showing up at the show. Hey, how's it going over here? It seems like there's a different type of pressure with that that I would love. I think any good director director would embrace, but it's still a lot. I mean, that's Steven Spielberg. I don't put many people ahead of Martin Scorsese or certain directors.
Right.
Spielberg's at the top of the list for me.
Yeah.
As far as overall greatest directors, you know, and that kind of thing.
It'd be a little intimidating.
It would. just a little bit, yeah.
And I'm with everybody else. I'm so tired of sequels and prequels and all of this. I am too. I am with everybody on that. I will say there is something to be said for, hey, we're making tons of movies anyway. And it's not as if that we're making this movie and there's so much that depends on it. Like the studio will fall apart if this movie isn't successful, or careers will be, you know, vanquished or something like that.
Right.
It's a silly sequel. If you go into it and everything, I think it can be fun.
Right.
What I think a lot of the problem is a lot of the pomp and circumstance that gets put on some of these things, and we take them too seriously, or we get our own personal emotions tied into it, like they made the movie for us.
Right.
And got to remember that this is not just about you, that there's others. And one other thing about this that I actually like when it comes to, I'll look at the Star Wars universe.
Okay.
You know, Seth and I, our whole childhoods begging for anything of Star Wars.
Right.
And now our kids' kids are just flooded with Star Wars stuff.
Right.
There's too much. And for everything that we like, there's 20 things that you can go on Reddit and find a million hate problems about
right,
and everything.
Right.
And all of it's good. All of it's a good thing.
Mm.
It keeps this around for younger generations, and the younger generations get to enjoy this stuff, and then they get to go online and say if they don't like it, dislike, or whatever, and everything. And it keeps this stuff in the lexicon. It keeps it out there.
I think one of the problems, and James, that you touched on about all these sequels that we do is that they're trying to recapture something. And I think you can't go into it like that. And because this was the problem for me when I watched recently Beetlejuice. They were trying to recapture whatever it was that made the first film so, memorable and fun. And it didn't quite work. And I think if you approach it as, it's a continuation, but let's try to not try to go back to the same thing. Let's try to make something new and different with it, even with the same characters or connections to the same character, however they do it, if they can try to come up with something more original and not try to go back to whatever it was that made that one special, I think they have a better chance of making this one more special.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought.
They almost have to, because some of the things in the original Goonies didn't age very
well. No, that's not aged very
great
well.
Great point. I didn't even think of that.
Of course, they're going to have to make some changes. Yes, you are so right.
That's true.
Yes.
I didn't think of that, though.
Absolutely.
But the original movie only cost $19 million. I mean, only.
But still.
That's a chunk of change. But they grossed $125 million worldwide.
I mean, back then, 19 was still not a huge budget. It was a decent-sized one. But you're so right, Melissa. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I will say this. Audiences have proven they want a sequel or a reimagination than a prequel. People are done with prequels.
Prequels seem to
For the love of all that is, stop with the prequels. People are just done with that. They want you to advance the story. They don't want to rewind. Mm-hmm. They already know how the story ends.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a prequel to Titanic. I know how that one ends. I'm pretty sure I got an idea
well,
of how
I don't know.
That one wraps
I don't know,
up.
James. I would love, personally, to see a prequel to Titanic, building the ship, everything.
Yeah.
I think it would be riveting.
Be awesome. That's it. I love the idea of James Cameron doing that. Like, it just
so I good. Got it, Seth. James didn't, but I got it.
That's all right.
Riveting.
It was really good. It was really good. It just took
it's
me
okay.
a second.
Yeah.
I'm just not that smart enough. That was over my head.
Sorry.
It was good, though.
It was a
really
deliberate
good.
Pun, and it just sometimes doesn't land.
No, it was great. It was not you. It was the audience. It was me.
Sorry.
It was me on that
Sorry,
one.
I didn't mean to talk over you, James. I just couldn't help it.
No, that was needed to be done. Needed to be done.
Because Seth needs to be celebrated today because Seth likes cake.
Yeah.
Seth loves cake. Seth loves
darn,
cake.
She heard me. She heard me.
She heard it. I thought this was an interesting one. I wanted to take a moment for this. Maya Hawke is the daughter of Ethan and Uma Thurman. Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think that books a lot of roles in itself. But now in the age of social media, the amount of followers an actor has matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is part of why it's being brought up. This is something I've touched on a little bit on the air here and everything. But there is something that has happened in the last last decade with the rise of social media and with the acting community. Mm. And where, as an actor now, for my, I've only had my SAG card since 08. I haven't had it for that long. But in the, I would say, the first 10 years of my career, your focus is hit the ground, get every audition you can, work on your craft, work on your monologues, devour them, get them down better than the original people that did them. Everything, all of the above, sell yourself, all these things. Now, how big is your Instagram page? Mm. How many followers do you have?
Yeah.
I have casting directors and agents that started out asking me that. They don't ask anymore because they just look it up. And
right.
I've been told, and this isn't with my current agent, but I've been told by my previous agent that I've been I have missed out on roles because I only have like 300 some followers on Instagram, like or something like that. I've right. been told this before I even get a chance to show what I got. Mm-hmm. They don't even let me in the room. And I'm one person out of the thousands and thousands of right. people auditioning around the world and everything mm-hmm. to do this stuff.
It's a numbers game.
It matters so much more now. So when you're tired of seeing my selfies, trust me, nobody's more tired of it than me. I have no confidence, none whatsoever. But I do this stuff mm-hmm. because I'm trying to get a dang acting career.
Right.
I'm working at this. I'm going to keep doing that stuff. If it means I got to take a dang selfie, I'm going to do it because this is the kind of stuff that matters now. And to the point of it, Maya Hawke is a good actor and has famous parents. And she has lost out on roles because she doesn't care about social media that much. And she's not that big on there and everything. So even with nepotism, it doesn't help you. Nepotism doesn't matter as much as your Twitter followers now.
Mm.
But that's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. And it's weird. So Maya said, quote, "I don't care about Instagram. Instagram sucks. But just so you know, if you have over this many followers, you can get the money movie funded." So the funding for movie mm-hmm. producers, directors, yep. other people are doing this. We talked with other directors we've had on the air with Directors Playhouse and stuff about this.
True.
The rise of this. And she says the line between an actor's quality of work and who they are is getting blurred.
Yes.
Quote, directors have even told her, quote, "Just so you know, when I'm casting a movie with some producers, they hand me a sheet with the amount of collective followers I have to get to the cast that I cast."
Wow.
So well before you're even going to even have a chance at an audition, they've already made a decision
mm-hmm.
on whether or not you're worthy of being interviewed. What happened to talent? What happened to being good at this?
Right.
And this isn't surprising.
No.
We've lowered the bar. We, and I mean the collective we, of course, but for every person that decides instead of watching a scripted TV show, I want to watch The Real Housewives of Albuquerque. Every time you choose to watch The Voice, every time you choose to watch Dancing with the Stars mm-hmm. or American Idol or any of these shows.
Or a YouTube personality, right?
Yep.
Them there too, yeah.
This is lowering the bar. They producers who only see things in black, who in the black,
oh,
that's it.
Money, that's all they
that's
see.
That's all they're seeing.
Yeah.
They're seeing, well, it's cheaper to make this and I'm getting the ratings. Why would I not do this?
Right.
So if you're not happy with this, and the same thing with the dumbing down of our news mm-hmm. and some of that. If you're unhappy with all this stuff, we got nobody to blame but ourselves. But here's the positive. We can fix it ourselves. Mm-hmm. Demand better. Demand more. If you don't like this, they will hear you. This is, they will listen.
Right.
We've seen plenty of evidence, even we in have. Recent history of yep. this. So you just have to be heard. You have to demand better. You mm-hmm. have to expect more.
100%. And, you know, we have talked about that, you know, about the you know, oh, this is going to be a surefire hit, right? And nothing, you know,
yeah.
it bombs at the box office and everyone's scratching their head. Well, why did that do that? Well, maybe you don't know the audience like you think you do.
The greatest example of this is the movie Morbius. That bombed horribly and is a horrible movie. It's top five, one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible. And Sony understood that it was bad. Okay, we're pulling it from theaters. But people online thought it was hilarious, the idea of this movie and everything. Mm-hmm. So they start making a bunch of memes, and it becomes very popular online to shredding and making fun of this movie.
Right.
But Sony, because they live in a bubble and they only care about the black, oh, wait, we can make a couple bucks. They put it back in theaters, and then they lose even more money because they didn't get the joke.
No, they just saw that people were talking about it. They didn't mm-hmm. see that they were making fun of it.
Right. So. And the numbers don't always pan out the way you want them to or expect mm-hmm. them to.
Exactly.
What about bots?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
How many followers of these that have these inflated numbers, how many of them are real people?
Well, that's great point.
I've had friends, like actor friends, like send me links where you can sign up for this thing. Mm-hmm. And hey, James, you know, you can have 10,000 followers. Like all you mm-hmm. got to do is sign up for this thing and you get 10,000 followers or 20,000 followers or whatever number you want. They can do that just, nowadays. There's
or just fake. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. I refuse to do that. I may only have like 300 some followers, but they're all real at least. Like I thought that
some
mattered.
Integrity, right?
I'm doing this wrong. I'm saying it out loud and I'm realizing, holy, I've done this all wrong. And just to all of this point, yeah. I joke around my followers and mm-hmm. I'm giving you the actual number. I really have like 300 some, 400 some right. followers or something like that. And Maya, who this story started with, mm-hmm. she was being told, and she's being told by casting directors, she doesn't have enough followers. She has 8.9 million Instagram followers, but that's not enough. That's not enough. But apparently that's not enough.
And a famous name and
two incredibly talented, very famous parents.
Yeah.
And still all that. And,
what the what, man?
And this isn't about feeling sorry for Maya. This isn't about that. She's not asking for sympathy here. She's doing
no,
fine.
No, she's pointing out what's wrong with the industry.
Exactly.
Right. And again, that we can fix this. Mm-hmm. We can fix this. We just got to demand more and expect more.
Yep, you got it.
We are going to take a quick news, sports, and partner break. We'll come back. And what is the most mispronounced name around the world? What are the most mispronounced names?
Oh, this will be fun.
Coming up on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. These weren't the top names we expected when I saw this headline or anything. Okay. But someone found the most mispronounced names in English by looking at how often they look up the pronunciation site Farvo. Farvo. I can't even pronounce the name of the website. they analyzed more than 12,000 names, and the two that people have the hardest time with are, audience, would you like to take a guess? 715-424-2600. 715-424-2600. Now, you guys, of course, have seen this list right. already, but are there names that you commonly mispronounce? Are their names? I tend to like my best friend growing up, Chris, spells his name Khris.
Okay.
And Chris has run into this where people are like, Chris, you know, they try to add the H in there. Yeah, or something
usually
like.
It's CH.
Right. Right, yeah.
You don't
yeah.
see KH together very often.
And if you do, it's usually like a K, you know, sound more. Yeah, it sounds, it's, yeah. Totally.
You know, the one that comes to mind for me is Jeannie.
Oh, good one.
Because it looks like Jean Anne.
Yep.
Oh, here's one. The one I've always had. Alicia.
Oh, yeah.
Alyssa.
Yeah.
There's so many ways Alicia. You could say that. Yes. Because I had, excuse me, I had one of those in my class growing up where everyone would always get her name wrong when they first saw it because it was Alyssa, but everyone called her Alisa or Alicia, you know? So
it's the names are Anne and James.
Huh?
What?
What?
It's because they included searches from all over the world, not just the U.S.
Oh,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Names we think of as straightforward aren't that obvious everywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Now here, before we get to the list real quick, how you would mispronounce these names, I think, is fun if you do this in your head.
Right. It is. Yeah, exactly.
Well, Anne, because it's spelt with an E, would be Annie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or even
or
Anna.
Ane.
Or Ain. That would, now you're right. I hadn't thought of that one. That's a good one.
Or Ainy.
Yep. My godson growing up used to call me Uncle Yams. Uncle yep. Yams.
Yams, yep. Because J's are, of course, in Spanish. Yeah. You know, it's a Yames.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Yames. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I could see that.
Jamie's.
Yeah.
Jameis.
Every once in a while, I've had Jamie. Every once in a while, I've been called that one.
There, I mean, it's. I mean, it's the same thing as a, you know, as in Scotland, Jamie is James, basically. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And Giacomo. Giacomo is the Italian version.
Giacomo is so
which
cool.
Which I should have been called. Yeah. We're Italian. Why didn't we change it? We could have done that. So Anne and James are the top names.
Okay.
And then there's Lauren, Evelyn, Christian.
Or Evelyn.
Yeah, see,
Evelyn,
exactly, yes, right, yes.
See, I said Evelyn because the character I played was named Evelyn, and that's how they spelled it. But yes, absolutely. Actually,
usually
I think
it's Evelyn.
No, yeah. Melissa's right. Yeah, it's actually Evelyn the way they're going. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That was on me. I apologize. Christian.
It's okay. It's the most mispronounced name, James. Mispronounced names, right? You should just mispronounce them.
I should just lead into it. Eleanor. Eleanor, mm-hmm. I can see that.
Okay.
Wow. Ashley, huh? Ashley, huh? Robert?
Robert? I guess, that's a different way of saying it, so, yeah.
Jane? John? Like, is it, I don't know how you mispronounce it. I'm trying to think.
Jane. You know, with the...
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Or Jan.
A lot of J names here, and I think mm-hmm. that's the reason why, yeah.
To that, wrapping up, Joan.
Joan, yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
A few more that made the top 20. Heather, Hugh, Gary, Lisa, Jack, Katie, and Cyan. C-Y-A-N.
Cyan. Jack? Yak. Yeah, it's got to be the J, man. Yeah, that's what it's got to be.
Well, and if you look at names that are common in other countries, you mm-hmm. know, they would have a similar list, which to them would be like, well, what's wrong with, you know, these are right. perfectly normal names. So we'd be like, all of those are weird.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
It's the differences with language and culture, which is just so cool.
I love that there are, you know, the same name, you know, the names are connected in mm-hmm. different things. So you've got, you know, like we were just talking, you know, Giacomo and mm-hmm. Jamie, you know, mm-hmm. different cultures where they're all basically James. That's the, at least that's what our, for being English, you know, English speakers, that's our base for it, right?
Yeah.
But their base is different. I think that's really cool. Mm.
You know why he did this story, right, Seth?
Because it's James?
Right, because our names aren't in it. It's just his. Yep.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. Wow.
Hey,
let's take.
Sorry, I really quick. I think the caller we lost him. My name has been mispronounced. I had a friend in college whose father could not say my name right. I was Zeth.
Oh, jeez.
He couldn't Zeth. For whatever reason. He had a block where he couldn't say Seth. It was always Zeth. The only time that's ever rough. Happened
that's
to me.
Rough. That Zeth. Ain't right.
It's, like, I don't know, it's only four letters. Cool.
I might just call letters. You that from now on, what, Zeth.
I kind of like that. I kind of actually like that. You calling him that.
It's your superhero name, Zeth.
Zeth. Oh, yeah, that's your alter.
Sounds more like a villain, actually, to me. Super villain, yeah. Oh, you're funny.
Oh, that's
I
good.
I know, right?
Militia.
What? Nice.
And cake is your kryptonite.
Oh, this is, we got a story here.
We're coming up with something. I don't know. What it is.
We got to come up with a catchphrase. What is the worst you've heard your name mispronounced? I've kind of given mine mm-hmm. already.
Yeah.
What is the, you know, I feel like you've given yours.
Yeah, that's about as close as you're going to get.
Melissa, has anybody ever mispronounced yours real bad? Or?
Well, I get called a lot of other names besides Melissa because I go by Mel as a nickname. So I get called Melanie or.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah. Or Michelle. Sometimes I've been called Michelle.
There's if I remember correctly, isn't like Missy tends to be a common nickname for Melissa?
That was my childhood nickname.
Right.
Oh.
And if you are not family and you call me that now.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I was not introduced to you.
Bad things will happen to you that I can't say on the radio.
I feel the same way about Jimmy. Like, we got to be close. We got to be a certain level of comfort for you to call me Jimmy.
You only get the pass if you're family.
Yep. I will respond to Jim. I completely respect mm-hmm. that one. I'll be fine with it. I'll think you're talking to my dad, but I'll probably respond. But Jimmy, we got to be on a different level for me to respond to that one.
The only thing, it's funny because you guys, you know, were shortened, sort of, you know, shortened names for your nicknames. If for mine, you actually have to add letters to make him. So I was never called by anyone Sethy. Okay, which I'm glad because that sounds horrible. But I think my sister did it, you know, just to annoy me every now and then when we were growing up. My parents called me Sether.
Sether.
Which
That's
was
actually
short...
my cousin has that same, yeah,
like
Sether.
That.
It's actually shortened for the full nickname they gave me, which was Sether J. Squirrel. They called me when I was a little kid. They called me it so much when I went to preschool and they asked me my name. That's the name they gave me. Who are you? I'm Sether J. Squirrel. My parents thought that was hilarious.
We need to make business cards. Yeah, we need to just send them to them. We need to do
just
that.
Just t-shirts. Phil, can we get some t-shirts?
Oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. We're doing that. We're also going to break. We'll come back and have some more fun on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away.
Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you had a great time. We sure did. We appreciate you being here for it. We're going to be at it again tomorrow. Melissa and I will be hanging out with you, bringing you a good Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into our local schedule and our good stories of the day. And boy, do we got some great stuff coming up for you. We kick off the week in just a minutes from now with Matt and Air on Air. Be sure to join Jane and Greg for that one. One of them are funner shows. I feel like
they do a great job keeping it light.
They do exactly what we tried to do here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they do a great job at it. Mm-hmm. Join those two coming up and they'll get you ready for the noon hour. Be sure to join us a little bit later today as we kick off the week of Midday Magazine with a couple of great guests. Part one, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Matt Zacher will be joining us, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media.
Ooh, a rare Monday interview for him. Ooh, yeah,
that'll be good. We're always good to hang out with Matt and talk with him. And in part two, Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Silver Foxes will be joining us.
Very good. Yay. Yeah.
Going to be talking about their upcoming production. Oh, I cannot wait. It's going to be fun. Real quick, as a side note, tomorrow in the 9 a.m. hour, Melissa and I are going to be joined by Bianca Bowden, Miss Wisconsin Rapids team.
Oh, nice. Excellent.
Yeah, we're going to talk about what she's been up to since the competition in October and all that.
Love talking to those ladies. Yeah.
That's how we'll kick off the 9 o'clock hour tomorrow. A little bit later today, 5 o'clock, 5 to 6, Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods.
Mm-hmm.
That's so great.
We got a good one lined up today. I believe it'll be a solo show for me, so I won't be alone, though. I got all of you out there to call in and join me, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to doing that a little bit later today from 5 to 6. And as I mentioned, Family Natural Foods, they've got a great presentation coming up tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
They got their essential oils presentation that they're going to be doing. Liza from Panorama is going to be there. She will discuss what makes a quality essential oil and how to use them, provide some free samples. Liza's a great talker. She's been on the air with us before.
She has, yeah.
And not only knows her stuff, but really cares about people. Really does. It's a great opportunity to be right there in person to see hear Liza and ask her your questions and check out some of these great essential oils.
Mm-hmm.
Find out more over at Family Natural Foods at 910 West Grand Avenue right here in Wisconsin Rapids. And keep in mind, everybody, that our friends over at Savor the Arts have their Bachelors of Broadway Gentlemen of the Theater coming up this Thursday.
Wow, they're almost here.
Got here fast.
It did.
The Arts Council of Southwick County is thrilled to present this Broadway production this Thursday, February 20th, 7:30 at the Performing Arts Center of Wisconsin Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like, how about dinner and a show?
Hey.
Begin the evening with dinner before the show. Go on over to the Ridges. It's offering a delectable meal at the restaurant for only $26.
Nice.
And they got good food over there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, shout out to our friends over at the Ridges and our great friends over at the Performing Arts Center. Eric and the gang keeping the place running. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Sally and our great friends at Savor the Arts. Get your tickets at SavorTheArts.com. SavorTheArts.com.
Excellent.
Seth, we got some local concerts going on, too.
We do. In fact, the next one is tomorrow on Tuesday over at the Performing Arts Center. It is the Lincoln High School Orchestra Concert, starting at about 6:30. And then next week, next Monday, on the 24th at 6 p.m., it's the District Choir Concert. So that's all coming up this week. So stay tuned. We're probably going to have more of those as we get towards the end of the school year. So support the kids in the arts, everybody. And we can guarantee you'll have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked a lot about in the beginning of our show some of our great nonprofits out there and some of the events they had over the weekend, and appreciate everybody that attended those and celebrated them and everything. And we've got another one coming up in just a little bit. Our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center has their Chefs for Change on February 27th. This amazing event will begin with excitement at 5 with a cocktail hour while you bid on treasures in the silent auction and savor the appetizers from their competitive chefs. Dinner and program will begin at 6 and the Nacoosa Community Center at 4:60. Crestview Lane in Nacoosa. This is going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Some great food, some great fellowship, all kinds of good things. And let me not skate past this. You got Joel Goodness as your MC.
Oh.
I mean, you can't top
good
that.
Good buddy Joel. Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Their previous MC was okay, but this guy's really, really good.
Nice.
We got some of our favorite great people, Dairy Food Works, Mid-State Culinary Program, Hotel Mead, Great Expectations, some big, great names behind this because we all want to be on the right side of history.
Mm-hmm.
We all want to make sure that our Our politicians and our government hears us. This is important to us.
Very important.
Domestic violence shelters matter to us. We care about this place. Attending this event, having it well attended and doing well, not only helps the Family Center do the vital work that they are doing, but also will be a bellwether to the all of these politicians and all these people out there that want to cut the funding of these things.
Yep.
And go ahead, and it doesn't take a deep dive, everybody. Go ahead and type in your search engine. Well, how do communities do without a domestic violence shelter? Look at that. Mm-hmm. Look at what happens to the kids in those communities. Mm-hmm. If I can't get you to care about the adults, if I can't get you to care with your heart, look at the economy. Look at what it does to their taxes. Mm-hmm. This has a trickle-down effect. This has a domino effect to things. By attending this event, not only are you going to get some good food, get out of the house, have some fun, those prizes, those raffle band, nobody does it like the people adding to the Family Center here. Mm-hmm. But you're also going to be on the right side of history and also adding to the vital work that they're doing over there. Mm-hmm. Find out more at familyctr.org, and thank you to everybody who's already gotten tickets and ready to attend.
Yeah.
Did you celebrate 10 years with your partner on Valentine's Day and joke about how it's incredibly you've lasted this long? Well, on Valentine's Day, Guinness World Records recognized the current record for the longest marriage for a living couple. It's a Brazilian couple who are now 105 and 101.
Oh, jeez.
They've been married an incredible 84 years and 77 days.
Oh my goodness.
They raised 13 children. They have that have given them 55 grandchildren. 54 great-grandchildren.
Of course.
Yikes. And now 12 great-great-grandchildren.
Wow. Oh, what goodness. A family. Man. Wow.
What kind of card do you give to your great-great-grandchild?
Well, do they make those?
I don't know if they make them or not.
Handmade card.
Yeah.
It's got to be, right?
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
At what age do you have to stop handing out?
When you're in your hundreds for anything, I mean, don't give them. Give them food. You know, something. Give them something they don't have to keep around. They don't need stuff at that age anymore. Forget that. They just want your time. That's what they want.
Yeah.
And I love that story. That's, How awesome is that? What is the special anniversary gift for 80 years? Like, what?
I don't even know if it goes that high.
It's just a plaque that says, well done. Yeah.
Good job.
Like, wow. Great work. Like, yeah, wow. Yeah, it just says wow.
Wow. You've got the wow award.
Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
You too.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.